Shared life. Kia ora, kia ora. Welcome to Faith Matters. It's so good that you're joining with us today, me and Denise in the studio. So we're going to talk about some God conversations. Well, we're going to have some God conversations. We're going to talk about some God conversations. And we're going to start with counterfeit to begin with. Should we just dive in, Denise?
Why not?
Are we on? We are. Okay, so maybe head into a little bit about what counterfeit is and what we're talking about.
Well, you think of, I think the word counterfeit, the most common place that we see that word is when we're talking about money. So you've got money, which is printed properly, and you have money that is counterfeit. And so the saying goes that if you're looking for the counterfeit, rather than staring at the counterfeit and learning what that's like, you actually spend a whole heap of time really intently studying the real thing. And then if a counterfeit comes across your path without the watermark or without whatever it's supposed to look like, then you can recognise the counterfeit.
Yeah, it's pretty clever. We don't often do that with money, study it so much that we are aware of a counterfeit note. Some of us are aware of it, but they'd have to be very clever to see what's counterfeit. You'd have to be a studier of the dollar note, perhaps, Denise, to understand if you came across a counterfeit note.
Yeah, well, we don't worry about it so much in New Zealand, but if you travel overseas and you give them a 50 or a 20 or a 100, you will see them. You know, they'll hold it up and they'll look for the watermark, and they won't, some places won't even accept a 50 or higher because it's so common in other places.
Right. And so we're going to, we would kind of want to discuss what it means to be counterfeit in our spiritual life and what that might look like. And it's a tough subject because in Christianity there's so many giftings and talents, I guess, that we have that often can come alongside looking the same as some, how do I put it? How do I even put it? Counterfeit out there, Denise. Oh, there we go. You know, it's hard for me because I come from a spiritualist background. So, you know, like I've talked in other sessions, my parents were elders of the Free Spiritualist Church of New Zealand. So, you know, I grew up around looking for alternatives to tap into an energy that would in some way propel us forward or give us information that we didn't already have. So connecting to a spirit world was really important for my parents. And I was a part of that because I was the youngest child and the one at home, so I was a big part of their journey in that. And back in the 70s, there were massive things happening in New Zealand. At the time, we had a lot of, how would I put it, communes starting up, I guess. And on those communes, you know, there was lots of alternative thinking and, you know, I guess I was part of all of that as well as my parents started to explore even alternative living styles. but, you know, on the journey of discovering spiritualism, I will put it as, you know, there was a lot of negatives that happened for me, Denise, you know, on my journey towards trying to find, you know, I guess even that feeling I had as a little girl, you know, what I've talked about before, you know, going into the field and feeling the presence of God and knowing that I was created and loved, and that sense of peace that I felt and that sense that I've come across many times in my life. I guess I was never found that in the spiritual journey that my parents were on. I always felt an unrest or a disturbance in me or a fearfulness in me. So it's a difficult subject for me because I know a lot about it because I grew up around it, and I definitely don't want to offend people in their own journey and discovery of things. But I am going to speak from my own experience, and that's all I can ever do around these things.
Yeah.
So what I do know is that the things that came into my life because of what my parents were involved in really did set a shadow over me that was quite unnerving. It produced in me a desire to want to find out how things worked, and that put me on a journey, and I followed people like Sai Baba. I don't know, many people would know who that is. Was an Indian, I think he was Indian, I'm not really sure, guru, mm-hmm. I guess you would call him. I was fascinated by him because he could walk past trees and turn and fruit would grow on the tree. Miraculous things would happen around him, and I just think it was amazing, and I wanted to know, how did he do that? That's all I wanted to know, was how did he do that? Because if he could do it, then I could do it, surely. And I've always had that principle in life, like if somebody shows me something magical or a bit of out of this world kind of thing, I think, well, if you can do it, then I can do it. And if I can't do it, there's something wrong.
Right.
And so in my Christian walk and my faith, I found that I can do whatever anyone else can do. There is nothing that is unavailable to me or that I shouldn't go and do.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas in the spiritualist world or in spiritualism, as I followed it, you left yourself open to lots of things, like tarot cards and crystals and clairvoyancy and trance mediumship and connecting with spirit world and just a whole lot of stuff that really had no, there was no answers there for me, Denise. Mm-hmm. So it always led me to more questions and wonderings and confusion.
Interesting, because we were talking a few weeks ago about how Jesus says, I am the gate. And we talked about how there's that safe hedge around, and that if we go into the spirit realm through Jesus, that's because he's the good shepherd, he's the safe person, the safe gate to go through. But it says in that same chapter in John chapter 10, anyone who enters that area by any other way is a thief and a robber. And so I think certainly a lot of Christians, when you start talking about any of this sort of stuff, like even if you, like you're talking about crystals, for example, straight away they'll go, oh, New Age, or, you know, kind of scary, and they just shut down. And I, years ago, I wrote in my journal because I was just curious, like, if you've got a counterfeit of something, there must be an original version. So you think of that with money. The only reason that there's ever a counterfeit of money is because they're trying to get for free, or, you know, through this counterfeit, what they could have got with the real thing. And so that's how I think about these kind of things. I'm like, well, if that's how they're going about it, what was the original version? And so I wrote in my journal years ago, I was just thinking about crystals, and I wrote, what's the original version of crystals? And I just wrote that, didn't expect any kind of an answer, and went about my life. And months later, I ended up in the waiting room at a health clinic, and they had this book on the reception desk, oh, not on the reception desk, on the waiting room table. And it was about crystals, and I thought, oh, that's funny. So I picked it up to have a look at it, and just opened the first page to the introduction, and it talked about how crystals were on, so the in the Judaism, they had in the Old Testament, God appointed Aaron as the high priest.
Yes.
And he's then really specifically specified, like, for the temple, the tabernacle, exactly how everything was to be put together. And then he talked about the priest's garments and exactly how they were meant to be made. And he talked about the breastplate for the high priest. And it says it is to be square, a span long and a span wide, and folded double, then mount four rows of precious stones on it. The first row shall be carnelian, chrysolite, and beryl. The second row shall be turquoise, lapis, lazuli, and emerald. The third row shall be jacinth, agate. I don't know how to say these things. And amethyst. The fourth row shall be topaz, onyx, and jasper. And this is what it was saying in this book about crystals. It was bringing it back to the Bible. And so I was like, wow, there's actually a biblical origin of crystals and the way that people use them nowadays. And I thought, wow, that is so cool. I just never thought.
So with the breastplate, I don't know if you know the answer, but was there a reason why they had these type of stones on the breastplate?
Well, they're meant to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, I think. And but I don't know why they're represented with these particular precious stones. But then if you also go to the end of the Bible, so the New Testament, after, you know, Jesus has died and rose again and all that sort of thing. So we're in, you know, for those who say the Old Testament was something else, well, this is in the New Testament, and it talks about the new heavens and the new earth. And we read about some of these same stones being some of the foundations of the heavenly city that comes down.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
You know, I would agree with that picture. You know, I guess I could share here a little bit around when I got pregnant with Joshua, our last boy. And I'm thinking of the word crystal at the moment and what I saw in my dream. So we couldn't have any more children. My husband and I we've got a blended family, but we had no children together. And I was told we wouldn't be able to. I was getting a bit old, Denise.
Never say never.
Exactly. And anyway, before I found out I was pregnant, I had a dream. And in my dream, I was taken up and I was led into a room that was completely like a crystal room. Just I could see. So I imagined it to be glass, but looking at scriptural based talkings around heaven, you know, it wouldn't surprise me it being crystal. And I could see the air, like the sky above me, and I could see the water below me and everything around me. It was almost like we were floating and suspended in this a crystal form, a room. And in this room was all these cribs, and this nurse came in and she walked me to the end of the room, and she said to me, "Oh, this one's yours." And I picked him up, and he had blue eyes and blonde hair, which all my kids don't have blue eyes, they have brown eyes and dark hair, although my girl was fair when she was born. And I held him, and I said, "Well, what do I do with him?" And she said, "Just enjoy him." Excuse me. And that was the end of the dream. And then a couple of nights later, I had another dream, and I was to call this boy Joshua. And it was about a month later, I found out I was pregnant.
Wow.
And Joshua was born, he was meant to be born on Christmas Day. And he came a week early on our wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's quite incredible. and he was blue-eyed and blonde.
Wow.
And we called him Joshua Aaron. And, he's been an absolute blessing for us. And you know, all through his life, that's all I've sort of felt to do was just enjoy him.
Mm.
And I have thoroughly enjoyed him. And he's a delight in our family and in our lives. But, you know, going back to crystal and even the supernatural, you know, God talked to me through that dream, and he showed me something that I've actually read about other people seeing things like that in a crystal room and in heaven or whatever. Fascinating. And we have a Joshua.
That is so cool. I love that story.
It is pretty amazing, and I think God is miraculous. But I think that the idea of crystals and how we may view them today as an energy source, there's nothing wrong with that, because I think they are an energy.
Yeah.
But then we can put a lot of our ideas of power into them and what they can do. And we almost give them an entity of their own, which, you know, they're just, after all, stones, which I, you know, believe can make us feel good when we're around them, and the colour of them or the shine of them, or just that they look amazing and help us to feel good too. There's nothing wrong with all of that. But when we inject into them almost a supernatural or spiritual connotation over it, then we are adding something in that isn't actually there. And I think we open ourselves up to the spiritual world that I knew so well as a young child and caused a lot of damage.
Mm. Well, so. that's that concept of, you know, if God created beautiful stones, and, you know, he's potentially given them positive qualities, but the whole thing is, we worship the creator, not the created. So actually it's not about the stones, it's about the God who created the stones, just as it's about the God who created us. And so I think that's the important aspect of counterfeit, is that, you know, you can go off track and you can get carried away with a particular thing. Like, I mean, I sort of think of, you know that vegetables are good for you. But you could worship the carrot and the broccoli and the spinach if you wanted to, or you can go, wow, thank you, God, for putting really great qualities in the carrots and the broccoli and the spinach, and thank you for the good things that it does for me.
So good. And when we think about the spiritual world, you know, it opens up a whole lot, Denise, and from my learnings around it, you know, I'm going to be honest, what I came to in my massive walk around all of that was the money that you could get from it. And the
accolades.
Yeah, accolades you could also get from it, because everyone wants to know what they don't know, right? And they want you to tell them what that is. And so when you train as somebody who can speak into somebody else's life and tell them things that they don't know about themselves, there's a lot of power that goes with that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, you know, people start to need you or want you, because you can tell them things, so they believe, that they can't find out for themselves. And we're going to go to a song, and we're going to open this up a little bit more when we come back, because this is where real counterfeit starts to show its head, and not everything is as it seems.
Living life in color, everything around me looks so beautiful and sweet. Heavenly desire, everything so bright, it's like a brand new movie scene. All the immersive colors, picture perfect, vibrant, gamer's paradise, and the world keeps going round.
Light enough, ooh, oh, let all the immersive surround me, colors, colors, Mama, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, 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 knocking on heaven's door. Mama put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. That long black cloud is coming down. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, 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 knocking on heaven's door.
So here we are back on Faith Matters 98.1 FM Raglan Community Radio, and we're having some God chats. We're talking about counterfeit, and yeah, I kind of finished off with you know, when people speak into our life, and you know, clairvoyancy, there's a name for it. Yeah, I did train as one of those. Well, I didn't actually train as one. It was just the people that surrounded my life and were in my parents' life were clairvoyants. And so they could see the giftings in me, and my giftings aligned with their giftings.
Right.
Even though I was born with them, God-given. So the counterfeit being, they saw it as part of what they do, and because of how young I was, I engaged with that. I didn't know anything else. You know, I knew the feeling of God, and I knew the peace and the love, and very thankful for those foundational experiences that he gave me that I could go back to. But, you know, we are living life, and we're human beings, and we, you know, we have our parents and our families and our lives, and God won't interfere, I believe, in family and what your parents ordain over your life, you know. I think opportunities come along where truth can be seen or spoken in, and luckily that happened for me. But, you know, under my parents' guardianship of my spirit and soul.
Because they didn't know the gate.
They didn't. And of course my dad had had his own experience there, unfortunately, that kind of shut off Christianity for him. But he was definitely a reader of God's word, Denise. You know, he definitely read the Bible. Mm. He just didn't want to read the bits about the spiritual stuff. It was sidetrack over
wow.
that.
Wow, interesting, yes. Because yeah. You'd think that would be of interest because he's passionate about spiritual
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but because they could not align that with Christianity, the giftings, right?
Yeah.
Nobody was speaking that into their life. All they could align with was their own spiritual thinking.
But that's the thing, like, it is counterfeit. So there are spiritual giftings of being able to speak into people's lives. There's the prophetic, there's words of knowledge, there's words of wisdom, there's
healing.
A whole heap. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you know, I mean, we were definitely hands-on healing in the environment I grew up in the spiritualist church. You know, we did hands-on healing all the time. In fact, we sang, you know, Onward Christian Soldiers and all the good Jesus songs back then. They were all Jesus songs.
So wow.
It was amazing teaching going in very subtly, but the person speaking from the front, you know, just like it would be held just like a normal church service, you'd have a speaker, and so the speaker would speak all about, you know, spirit guides and, you know, always of the spirit world, that they were far more knowledgeable and we needed to know what they knew.
But, okay, so these spirit guides would be the equivalent of the ones trying to get into the spirit realm without going through the Jesus gate. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be, if that's a counterfeit, there's got to be the original vision, the vision that's actually life-giving and gives you peace, not the one that opens doors for the negative outcomes.
Yeah. I would agree with somebody who experienced that. And, you know, God is gracious and he is definitely not a controlling entity as such. That, like what I found out, what was in the spiritual world for me when it came to spiritualism was very controlling. So I feel very fortunate that I had the experiences that I did as a young girl of Jesus and God, Holy Spirit, even though I didn't know all those names, I only knew God as such. Because without those experiences, without that feeling of peace that I, and the knowing of I was created and loved unconditionally, immensely, and the feeling that I got from that, without knowing those anchors, I would have been swept up in the spiritualism that I was so much around me as a young teenager, you know, from about 9 on, I would say.
It's interesting what you said about people coming, like the money aspect of it, and people, if they know that you've got that gifting, they come and kind of draw on you. Like, I've got some people that I know who go through the Jesus gate, but they have the same sorts of giftings. And so think of one particular person who often says to me, man, it's so exhausting going out around people because they just draw on me all the time, because she can see in the spirit realm through Jesus. And, you know, she can do a whole lot of stuff through Jesus that other people would say, ooh, that's new agey.
Yeah.
But it's not, because it's through not. The Jesus gate.
Yeah.
But she too goes, my goodness, the people who are aware, they'll be coming up to her and saying, what can you see?
Yeah, you know. What do you know? I agree. It's interesting because I found as a Christian with my giftings, and I don't talk, because they're just natural, Denise, so I don't, you know, they just are what they are. I don't know them any different to anything else in my life, I guess, because they're just naturally who I am.
Yeah.
But when I was walking the line of spiritualism and looking to develop the things that I had been taught as a young girl, I saw a lot of power struggles. There was always somewhere I had to go to learn something off somebody else that knew more than I did. They were, and to get what they had, I had to pay to go and learn that.
Right.
You know, so the internet wasn't really happening back then. I guess we would have, nowadays we just Google everything, you know. But back then it was about traveling and going and seeing these people who I used to kind of look at like and be amazed at who they were. But a part of me wasn't amazed, and a part of me kind of felt like, who are you that you know so much more than everyone else? Like, how does this happen and how does this work? So my inquiring mind, because I'm a questioner, so I'm like, how, you know, what information are you getting that I can't get? What makes you so different from me? Because we're humans.
What I love in the Bible is there are some people that, you know, in the New Testament, Paul writes a lot of the letters, or, you know, everybody, I think, knows about Moses. And these guys, called King David, like, they had the ones that we learn a lot from and who really had depth of relationship with God, they often had some sort of a, like with Paul when he came to know Jesus, because he was out there murdering Christians until he had an encounter with Jesus.
We've got to go into that story one day.
But when that had happened, he talks later on in one of his letters, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it's 13 years that he spent out in the desert in Arabia or something like that. Like he talks about actually being removed and just spending time in God's presence, and God was revealing stuff to him.
Mm.
And Moses, who ended up in the desert for 40 years before he kind of came out and was able to have those amazing moments with Pharaoh of saying, you know, God saying, let my people go.
Incredible
and
stuff, yeah.
all the plagues and all that sort of thing happens. King David, we talked a week or two about how he was out looking after the sheep. So he was out with his harp day in, day out, just himself. And so when you're saying you had to go to people to learn the stuff, I'm like, oh, see, I don't like that. I would rather be able to go to God direct and say, God,
I agree.
Could you please teach me what I need to know for my giftings, for my purpose? Like, I'm not, I don't want something that's too much for me.
Mm.
I don't want him to reveal stuff to me that he hasn't sort of ordained that I know.
Yeah.
But I do want to know what he's got for me. Mm. So I'll go to him because he's the creator and he's the one who's given me that desire and he's the one who knows everything. Yeah. And I'd much rather go to him through the Jesus gate than to be kind of exploring elsewhere and coming in through a thief and a robber version over the fence and coming up with all the pain and the trauma and whatever else I've opened myself up to.
Yeah, I think I like to know the answer to something. And I think there is always an answer. Like if there's a question, there's got to be an answer to it, right? And so I'm going to keep going till I can get the answer. And I don't... what I learned in my spiritual journey, and it was massive, is that... Oh, God, where I was going to go with that, Denise? It's popped out of my head. There you go. You're not meant to know. It's going to come back, though, so I'm going to let you go. Keep going.
That's all right. Yeah, so anyway, here we are on Faith Matters talking about counterfeit. What is it? What does it mean to go through the Jesus gate to have...
Oh, I know where I was going to go. Look, it's come back. It's come back because it's the little guy in my filing system. He's got a little bit lost in there, but he's back on board. Yeah, I think that, you know, we're always looking for the answer. We want somebody to give us the answer. And if what I found in my spiritual walk is that, you know, even though I was doing tarot cards and I was doing clairvoyancy myself, I would want to go and see other clairvoyants so that they could give me the answer that I didn't know.
Ah, interesting.
So, you know, when I was lonely or looking for somebody, you know, you'd go and see a clairvoyant, you'd pay $50 or $80 or whatever it was and go and pay for someone to read your future. And what I learnt from all of that is... Every time I went, I was so engrossed on what they were saying and believing that I was going to meet this person and this is what they're going to be like and we're going to have so many kids and, you know, I'd probably do this or that. And most of the time nothing happened, Denise. Like some of it would come true, but not all of it.
Mm.
Right? And that was the most confusing thing for me, is that some things would happen or they'd get some things right, but not the complete picture. And that disturbed me greatly. There was no, I didn't feel any peace in that. And so the one thing I found in my Christianity is that, you know, and again, I guess it's from those first experiences, God made it very clear to me, his voice, his direction, his leading, his peace. There were certain things he put in me that... really can't be counterfeited.
Yes, and actually that's important because in that same chapter in John 10, Jesus talks about my sheep know my voice. And so there is a learning process and it's okay to make mistakes, but what we learn in the process is what God's voice sounds like.
Man, did I need to know that. That was a huge learning curve because I'd heard so many voices because of the things I was involved in. And, yeah, the spirit world is real. You know, there's things out there, honestly, you do not want to open up.
Yeah.
It might feel good in the moment, but in the long term, the risks on your own health and your mental health can be massive. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say it just to, for the sake of saying it, I actually mean that. The voices in your head can become massive. The things that you see or hear can be overwhelming and can lead you off into all sorts of tangents, and you can't close it down. And so for me, this is long before I became a Christian in my own desire to, you know, give my heart to the Lord. This is me on my journey towards that, and,
right,
and God's, you know, talking to me in those times. And it was really important for me to know his voice when I came to that decision of I only wanted him in my life and I only wanted to hear from him.
Yeah.
I had to close everything else down. And for some people, they're like, oh, well, whatever, what does that mean, close everything else down? Well, when you've got a lot of voices in your head, it's hard to know what the voice is, to know that, to find that peace again, to find God's voice in amongst all that counterfeit.
Wow.
And how
did you do that?
Well, I actually, at the time, I remember it clearly, I had my daughter, flatting with another girl, another solo mum, and she was on a journey of looking for something herself. You know, we were both on a journey. I only knew what I knew, and she didn't know much more. We went to a couple of churches and all of that, but nothing kind of settled in me. Nothing kind of like was the wow factor where I felt it in my spirit. So it was first, I think, God revealing to me how noisy my head was.
Right.
I hadn't really, I started playing worship music and I sort of felt something nice from that.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where it started for me. Started my spirit, started to be activated back to what I knew in God, and that peace, looking for that peace and that that relationship. Yeah, so I was first off that it was, my head was very noisy, and so I had to, I just, honestly, for a good couple of years, I just refused to listen to anything. Like, I didn't care what kind of voice. It could have been God's voice. I don't even, wouldn't have even known. And I'm not listening. Don't talk to me. Everyone be quiet. That's it. Door closed. Maria's left the building. Like, I'm no longer listening. Yeah, and it was truly like that for a couple of years. I just would, anytime I'd hear sort of something going on in my head that didn't feel right in the background, I'd be like, nope, not going there. Close it off. Not listening. That's it. And slowly, I think one day I just, slowly I was like, I want to hear from you, God. I want to know you.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, it was just a natural yearning in me to want to go back to God. But I will tell you about a dream I had that was part of this journey. And I have to be honest, I didn't know it was a dream. I thought this is actually had happened in my life. So let's just start there. I thought this was a real event. And it sounds crazy, but then I had pretty, you know, far out parents. So, you know, it's probably not that crazy in my world because my parents did crazy things. So I thought that I was in the car with my mum and we were travelling through the Coromandel. You know, it's very bushy up there and we'd stopped on the side of the road and she'd walk me through the bush and we'd come to this cave and there was a man standing. This gets weird, but like I say, I mean, my parents just take me to some really strange places, so this is not weird at all.
Is this the magpie and bright bling story?
Yes.
So if you remember, if you were listening to us back in May, Marie actually said she was going to tell us the story. So it's taken us 2 months to circle back round to it.
Yeah.
But here we are in the Coromandel in a car with her mother. And what happened?
Yeah, she walked me into the bush and we came to a cave and there was a man standing there and he had long white hair and he had a long white beard and he had the most piercing blue eyes. Yeah, that's all I can say. They were incredible. And he said to my mum, because we were going to walk into the cave together, he said to my mum, no, you need to stay here And so my mum stayed at the mouth of the cave, and I walked in with this long hair, and he had a long gown on, and I just felt amazing with him. And we came in, and there was a wooden table, long wooden table, in the cave, and on the table were all these jewels, and I'm talking sapphires and diamonds and rubies and emeralds and all. I mean, I'm a magpie. I love jewels. I mean, I'm always the kid that wanted to find the treasure. I was digging up the backyard because I believe there's treasure somewhere, and I'm going to find it. You know, awesome. That one. I just loved it. So I'm a magpie. I love sparkly things. And this man, he went and walked. There was a big chair, and he went and walked behind the table, and he sat down, and he said to me, "Marie, you can have all of this, or you can have me." And I just ran around the table and jumped on his knee, and I said to him, "How could you even ask me that question? It was a no-brainer for me. I just wanted him, because the sense of who he was and that feeling of, like, he's my creator, like, he's my dad, he's my everything." It's not something I can put into a language and make people understand what that feels like, because it just was a no-brainer. And this is for a kid who's a magpie, you know. And he kind of chuckled, you know, he kind of just laughed.
Yeah.
And then he just walked me back out to my mum, and then we went back to the car and drove off. Like, I thought this thing had happened. And that was probably when I was around nine or ten, and I think at around it would have been around 13, 14. Life started to had a dramatic turn for me. And, I remember getting up in the morning and saying to my mum, "Mum, will you take me back? I need to go and see that guy with the long hair and the big, you know, the white beard and the blue eyes. I need to see him. I need to talk to him now." And she said, "Well, what are you talking about?" I said, "The guy you took me to in the bush." I got really upset with her, really upset, like crying. "I want to go see him, like, the guy you took me to." We drove there, and he stood at the front of the cave, and you couldn't go in. She's like, looking at me like I'm really crazy, you know. And so then I realised it was a dream. It was devastating for me, Denise. I was broken by that, the fact that it was actually a dream, and it hadn't really happened in real life.
Mm.
And I was desperate to see this man again. But what I found out many years later, going back to that dream, is that, you know, with everything that my parents were involved in, God was giving me a choice right back then.
Yep.
All those diamonds and rubies and sapphires and emeralds that I could see scattered all over that table, and I can see them as clearly in front of me now.
Mm.
And I can see that scene very clearly. I knew they were the riches of the world, that I could have done all the things that my parents were into. I could have been a clairvoyant. I could read cards. I could do transmediumship, go into the spirit world. I could conjure up all sorts of things. Yeah, I possibly could do all that. I get a lot of money.
Yeah.
I can make a lot of money. It's going to be good.
Right.
So I knew that was a choice right back then, that even though I didn't understand the choice that I was making, it was just a no-brainer for me to do that. And I was putting a stake in the ground in my spirit. So even though as a child I wasn't old enough to make those decisions myself, God was helping me to make those decisions in my spirit and set firmly who he was and who he is.
Wow.
You know, who he is, knowing him as a creator, knowing him as my confidant and friend when I was on the farm, and now knowing him as, you know, over all riches, over anything I could possibly want, that the relationship with him was far more important.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, it was back then, and it still is now, because I do believe it was the fork in the road.
Yeah.
Even as a child, it was a fork in the road. I'm thankful I got that as a child, because my heart was so open to knowing the Father.
Mm.
Mm. There you go.
Wow. Well, shall we go into a song?
We are. Which one are we going to go to?
We're going to go into Yet to Come by Rat Ruckus.
Thank you. I know the one who made the stars. I met him on the bathroom floor when everything was torn apart. Didn't know what I was living for. I almost gave up. I almost gave up. You met me in the mess I made and told me I was meant for more. You pulled me out of my mistakes and led me through that open door. That's when I woke up. And that's when I woke up. Yeah. My sin is gone.
Shower me with good times. Tell me that the world's been spinning since
go. Cover us in sunshine. That's always a good thing. You're listening to Marie and Denise on 98.1 FM and Raglan Community Radio. And we've been talking about counterfeit, and we've been journeying along and some stories that I've shared. And Denise has given us some scripture base. What else do we want to talk into that, Denise? She's looking away like, oh, Maria, we're ready. We are, Denise. We're here.
Well, I just think it's really cool. That's that dream that you had about this invitation of, you know, do you choose me or do you choose all these bright, shiny things, the things that would attract you or distract you or wealth or anything like that?
I mean, I love it. Give it to me. I'd love it.
I just think that's awesome because I think until you've had some sort of an encounter with God and who he is and actually had an encounter with his heart for you and experienced that love, it's just talk. And I think, you know, you can hear the words that somebody else says and says, you know, God is love, God did this for me, and you can go, yeah, whatever. But once you've lived something like that, then it becomes your own.
Feel really blessed by that, but you know, I'm well past halfway through my life now, and so when I look back, I can clearly see why God intervened or made himself known to me. When you're in the story, you don't know the story.
Yes.
You know, you're still living out the story, and I'm still living out the story now, and you know, I'm sharing some of it with people, you know, which is a great place to be in my life, because many things that I talk about, I could not have talked about a long time ago. I wouldn't have felt confident enough to, or I would have thought that people would have thought I was a bit weird, which they probably do anyway, Denise, but I'm okay with that now. It doesn't actually bother me.
I keep telling my husband I'm completely normal, and he just goes, yeah,
nah. Nah, that's normal anyway. I never want to be normal because I've never had a normal life, so I'm not don't quite understand what normal is. I think I might find it a bit boring. But I do, you know, I do see the bigger picture that I couldn't see at the beginning, that God certainly could see over my life. And if I hadn't had those cornerstones in my life, I truly don't believe I'd be alive right now. I really, really don't. There's so many times that my life has been nearly snuffed out. It's only the grace of God that it hasn't. And I know that to be true. So at least, you know, it's a bit like I've talked about before in the Bible, you know, you can't go past a living testimony, you know, an eyewitness account. It's so important. We have eyewitness accounts right back in the history of the Bible. You know, we don't want to take that lightly.
Exactly. We were talking in the break while we're off air about Paul, the story of Paul. I mentioned Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament letters to the churches, and you were saying, yeah, well, he had that encounter. So Paul grew up in Tarsus, so he wasn't around in Jerusalem or in Israel necessarily when he was younger. But, you know, Christianity started spreading. There were people starting to follow Jesus. It was known as the Way. And Paul knew his scriptures. And the interesting thing about Judaism back then was there were different branches. So there was the Pharisees, and they were very big on scripture, very big on rule keeping, not to break the law. And then there was the Sadducees, who were also kind of big on that sort of thing, but they didn't really believe in the supernatural. But the Pharisees did. So those guys would argue. And then you had the Essenes, who sort of removed themselves from society, and they were all about scripture. They just spent their time copying the scripture and sort of distributing it for people, and living very sort of monastic, is that the word? Monastic lives. Away from society. And then you had sort of some of the other groups, like the Zealots and things, who were like, well, you know, God's our king, we've got to fight Rome. And so there's all these different factions of what we just go, oh, Judaism, it's just one thing, but it wasn't. And so when the Way, they called it the Way, when people started following Jesus and saying, well, he's the promised one, these ones from the other groups are going, no, 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 no. And it was to the point of killing. Like Paul, his name was Saul before he encountered Jesus. And he was literally finding people from this new faction that had saying that the Messiah or the promised one had come, and they're like, nah, hasn't, and was killing people who believed that. So it wasn't just sweet niceties. Like, these guys were passionate about their views, and they would fight each other on it. Yeah. And so this guy Saul, who literally, like we read in the Bible, that he was there approving of what we think of as the first martyr, Stephen, who was stoned.
Yeah.
Saul was there approving of it, and then he got documentation to go and go up to Damascus and to kill the believers there. But on his way up to Syria, he had an encounter with Jesus, and he saw this bright light, and he was blinded by it. The others sort of knew something was going on, but they didn't get blinded by this light like Saul did. And he was blind for the next 3 days, and God kind of told another guy. They're talking about prophetic kind of things. This guy, Ananias, God says to him, well, there's a guy.
Yeah, he did.
Go and find this guy. He's in this house on Straight Street, I think it's called.
Yes.
And Ananias is like, but yeah, isn't he the God guy said. Who kills people? Like, I don't really want to go and talk to him. And God's like, no, you go and you pray for him. Mm. I've told him that you're coming, and I've told him that you'll pray for him and he'll be able to see. So Saul has been told that this guy Ananias is going to come. Ananias gets told by God, go and pray for this guy. And he's like, I'd really rather not. But like, because of this incredible God encounter, Paul got renamed to Paul instead of Saul, and his whole life completely turned around, and he became just as fiery against Christianity. He became that fiery for Christianity. And so he, you know, he describes, you've got him in some of his letters, he describes some of the stonings that he experienced and the shipwrecks and getting bitten by a snake and that had no power over him and all the stuff that happened to him. Yeah. Very spiritual if you kind of look at it from that perspective, but he was going through the Jesus gate and his life was completely transformed.
Yeah.
And God used him amazingly.
Yeah, it's that Jesus gate. There's real safety and, you know, sense of peace. Again, that's all I can ever go to, Denise, that sense of peace, because I know what it is to feel chaos. And so to feel peace is a wonderful thing. It's not something I take lightly, because it's an inside jobby.
But it's not that his life was easy. Like, there's no one saying, you know, go through the Jesus gate and all will be well, because all those things did happen to Paul, but he was walking with Jesus through Jesus, and so he lived his life knowing that it had meaning, knowing that it had purpose, and knowing that God was directing him. And certainly when you read his story, it's like, yeah, that was not an easy journey.
Yeah, and we need to remember this. It's it is a journey, and we can hear stories of people in the Bible and brush over and not really unpack the journey that they had, which is massive. It's not just a few sentences that we kind of, Paul had the Damascus Road experience.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't just Paul had the, went from Saul to Paul, you know, Damascus Road experience, God spoke to him and everything changed. You know, there is years or months involved in all of that, a person's life. It's not, it's not just words on a page.
Yeah, exactly.
This is real life, folks. Just like our lives are real folks, real life. I must be getting tired, Denise.
Yes.
What are we gonna play?
We're gonna go into Child of Love.
Lightning from heaven. dreams keep chasing me. Am I ever gonna exercise these demons? I guess we'll wait and see. Been walking these same old streets for 1,000 years it seems. I don't ever wanna lose myself. I don't ever wanna be caught refusing help. I don't wanna, but I'm in a world of sins. With wealth, convinced, sticking self and prove itself. I'm never gonna forget my roots. I'm but to go and blow this roof off. But to blow and go and show this world just to win what I'm made of. There's nobody else like you, and nobody do it like you do. You're one of a kind, limited edition, custom design. You gon' burn brighter than a fire, gon' blow ashes across the sky. So let me take a minute, let me make an observation. You're the only one of you, there's no replacement. You're the pinnacle of my God's creation. Fast to blow high and defy gravitation. Chasing stars, heart racing, you're amazing. If it's any indication, in a world of unlimited information, beyond imagination, you get really got the skies blazing.
Can't hold me down, can't hold me back.
It's been great to have you join with us today on Faith Matters. We've had some great conversations. You might have to listen to it a couple of times. And I might have to listen to it a couple of times myself. But there you go. We've been talking about counterfeit. And I'm sure there is a lot more we can unpack about all of this, many stories. But all I can tell you is that what I know about the spiritual world and what I know about relationship with God and Jesus, Holy Spirit, is the difference there of peace and of knowing truth and the fullness of truth. And there is when you only know part of the truth and not the whole truth. That's not how it works with God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There you go. It's a good one. I like that one.
Mm. Yeah, and that is the thing. That's about the counterfeit. So we started with, if you want to recognize the counterfeit, get to know the real thing.
Amen.
And then you'll know what doesn't sit right, what doesn't look right, what doesn't have the right marks on it, what doesn't have the right. Well, you were talking before about energy, whatever.
Yes, you're feeling your gut.
Yeah.
because, you know, it didn't matter how much I was around all the spiritualism in my younger years, you know, I said to you, in my gut, something didn't feel right.
Yeah, and that's called discernment. We would call that discernment, so discerning between good and...
And that's a gifting from God.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, let's not counterfeit that one.
We're all given a conscience to start with, and sometimes we kind of ignore it so much that it starts to shut down. So if we're wanting to reactivate our conscience, maybe it's something like what you're talking about actually just stopping some of that input so that you can just reset, so that you start to recognize what feels right, what doesn't feel right.
Yeah, because now I know, Denise, ain't no way that I can hear a counterfeit voice in there, because I know the truth.
Yeah, which is
awesome. And it's something, you know, I've talked about back a few sessions now in our chats about the laughing Jesus. I sometimes can feel him just putting his head back and laughing at some things, because that's just the way it is. And there is freedom and knowing the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we're going to head out on that. Denise, you want to, where are we, Denise?
Yeah, we're going to finish with Dare to Move, but have a wonderful weekend and a great week.
And if you're looking, if you're looking for somewhere to tune in and find out more about faith and God, Christianity, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you're welcome to join us on Sunday at Raglan Area School, 10 a.m. I'm sure we've got an amazing speaker and worship and coffee and people and company and kids and laughter and good things, Denise.
That sounds wonderful.
It does.
All right. Ka see you later. Te.
Welcome to the planet. Welcome to existence. Everyone's here. Everyone's here. Everybody's watching you now. Everybody waits. What happens next? What happens next? I dare you to move. I dare you to move. I dare you to lift yourself up off the floor. Welcome to the fallout. Welcome to resistance. The tension is here. The tension. Gonna go. Where you gonna run to now?
salvation is here.